All right. Here's what I'm going to do. People come to these meetings, yes, to be taught the Word of God, yes, to enjoy the praise and worship, but also because they got stuff in their lives that's not good. People come to these meetings because they would love God to just meet their need and change their life. But you see, what you got to understand, and what I got to understand, is God's got to do that. I can't, and the other people that pray can't. When God moves, He moves by what? By the anointing and the power of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to take you just quick to the beginning of the Bible. And I want to show you what the beginning of my Bible says. It starts off and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. Let's just think about that for a while. It was formless, it was empty, and it was in darkness. When you look at that speaker, what is its shape?
Speaker?
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole
square.
It's roughly square. Good. When you look at that fan, what shape is it? Round. When you look at, is there any other shapes here? Help me out.
My head.
His head. When you look at Mark's head, what shape is it? It's getting bigger by the second. Right? What I'm trying to say is everything that we can think of has a recognizable shape. Your car, even though all cars don't look the same, when you see a car, you can say, even a two-year-old can say, car, car, right? Aeroplanes, they don't all look the same, but they got a similar shape. We know them by their shape. The Bible says the earth was formless. What does that mean? It had no shape that we would recognize. If God had to somehow, you know, like in Star Trek, you go and climb on that little thing and Scotty says, beam me up, and zit, and there you go. If God could take you back all the way and He could show you what the earth looked like, you would stand there with this stupid expression on your face and say, huh? Because you wouldn't know what you were looking at. It had no form, right? And then the Bible says, and it was empty. Has any of you ever opened a box that you expected to have a nice surprise and then there was nothing inside? And then how do you feel when you see that there's nothing inside? Disappointment. It's a bit difficult to get excited about an empty thing, isn't it? Emptiness is not good. It was formless and it was empty. And darkness covered the surface of the deep. I want all of you to just bear with me. Close your eyes. I don't want nobody peeking. Close your eyes. Come on, son. Close your eyes. Close it. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to steal you, man. You're going to fall asleep. I promise you, you won't. All right. Everybody close their eyes. Right. If I had to ask you now to keep your eyes closed and not open them again, but find your way home, who of you will find your way home from here? Now, that would be an interesting experiment. You have a guide, but his eyes are also closed. You see, the thing is, when darkness has come, sometimes the simplest task becomes an almost impossible task. Darkness has one of these qualities that it makes everything difficult. It complicates every single thing. Now, let's get back to what the world looked like. It was formless. In other words, you couldn't do anything with it. You couldn't create a wheel out of it because it wasn't round. It was empty. There was nothing good about it. And it was covered in darkness. Who of you would like to live in a world like that? Raise your hands and wave at me. Is that a demon of stupidity or stubbornness? Come on, guys. None of us would like to live in a world like that. Because a world like that has got nothing to offer you. It's got nothing to offer you. And that's not the kind of world that God wanted us to live in. And so God looked at this and He said, listen, yeah, this is just plain chaos. The Bible says darkness covered the surface of the deep. That means that the earth and the water had not yet been separated. And what do you get when you mix earth and water? Mud. So not only was it formless, not only was it empty, the only thing that you found in it was mud. Any of you ever fall in mud? How does it make you feel? It's difficult to get all excited. I know that there are some men that need prayer, that like to sit around a ring and watch women play around in the mud. But we're not talking about that type of stuff now, right? Okay? Mud's got nothing to offer you. And God looked at this and He said, this is not what I want for my people. I want something better. I want something awesome. I want something spectacular for my people. God looked at this and He said, this is a problem. I cannot bring man into a world like this and expect them to be happy and expect them to be blessed. I want to give them the best that I can give them. And God said, it's time for me to send in the expert. And let's quickly go back to the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless. It was empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In other words, while it was dark, while it was empty, while it was formless, while it was chaos, suddenly the Holy Spirit was there. And then God spoke what He wanted to happen. He said, let there be light. And instantly there was light. And the moment light comes, you can work with something. Any of you ever worked on cars here? All right. Nelson, if we were to put you in a pitch dark garage and tell you to change your car's alternator, could you do it? No. Firstly, he won't find his tools because it's pitch dark. Secondly, he's going to battle to find the alternator because everything feels the same. And thirdly, he won't know where the bolts are. So he can't do anything. The moment God said, let there be light, it immediately changed the whole perspective. Now things can begin to happen. The point that I'm trying to make is, until the light has come, nothing else will happen. It starts with the light. When the light has come, things begin to change. When the light has come, your perspective changes. When the light has come, God's glory can be manifest. God spoke it. God said, let there be light. But who was the person of the Trinity that was right there where the problem was? The Holy Spirit of God. And you see, the thing that you have to understand is this has never changed and it will never change. Some of you can look at your life and say, man, there's a lot of darkness in my life. Some of you will look at your life and say, it's got no shape, it's got no form. When I look at his life, I see fruit. I see joy. I see happiness. I see a good self-esteem. When I look at my life, I see an empty shell. I see no shape. I see no form. And you know what? God has spoken in His Word, and He has said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. God has said it. But you know what the problem is? Why we don't experience it? Because a lot of us have never met the person of the Trinity that can make it happen. Once again, who is the person that was there where the problem was when God said, let there be light? The Holy Spirit of God. So here's simply what I want us to do. We can preach tonight. We can worship tonight. We can pray together. We can sing hymns together. And we can go home just as empty as what we arrived here. Unless we have the person here who can change everything. There's a lot of stuff that God has spoken over your life. If you're in financial debt right now, I promise you God has already spoken release over you. If your marriage is falling apart right now, I can promise you God has already spoken healing over that. If you are sick right now, I can tell you right now God has already spoken release, deliverance and healing over you. How do I know that? Because God is a Father and He wants the best for you. But it's not good enough that He just speak it. You also need the person there that can make what God has said happen. And that's the Holy Spirit. So let's invite Him into this church. Let's assure Him that He is in control and not you. What do I mean by that? Quite simply this, if you have asked the Holy Spirit to come into this church, then you need to submit to whatever He wants to do. Forget about telling him how he must work with your life. Well, Lord, I don't want to be prayed for in front of people. If that's how it must be, that's how it must be. Lord, nothing weird must happen when they pray for me. Well, if that's how it must be, that's how it must be. Lord, I don't want to humble myself. Well, if that's how it must be, that's how it must be. While you all take hands, just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Genesis 1, verse 1, which gives us one of the greatest truths that there is locked up in the Word of God, that there is hope in times of darkness. God will bring shape where we see nothing. God will bring peace where we see chaos, if we allow the Holy Ghost to work in our lives. Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we invite you into this church tonight, and we pray that whatever might happen, whatever God has planned, that you will allow it to manifest in our midst. I pray that you will flow through me, that you will flow through every person that is here, because you are the living water of God. And Lord, where that living water touches, darkness must give way to light, death must give way to life, sickness must give way to healing, and Satan must give way to Jesus. And Lord, as it is written in the Bible, I do not pray that we will be ankle deep. I do not pray that we will be knee deep. I pray that your river of life will flow all over us and submerge us in the holiness and the glory of God. I thank you for this Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now here's what I want you to do. Just in your heart, I want you to make a declaration to the Holy Ghost and say to him, Holy Spirit, you have access to my heart. You have access to my life. And I submit my will to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, bless God. Now, it was about 1991. I was busy studying, and I had a lot of stress in my life. Who of you can relate to that? Okay. Pressure. I was busy going through midterm exams. We were writing one exam after the other exam, sometimes two a day. And let's be very honest, I didn't study very hard. So I did cause a lot of my own problems. Yes, I admit that. Definitely. And the workload was just enormous. And while I was going through all of this stuff, one night I wake up and there's this thing in my room. A very evil thing. And I immediately knew that there was a presence. And as I opened my eyes, I saw this figure hanging over me in the bed. It was hanging over me horizontally. Its face was almost right against my face. I could not make out detail, bless God for that. But I knew that there was a face staring back at me. It was like this hazy figure. You know, like a mirror when it's fogged up and you look at yourself? And you can see the outlines and you know that there must be detail there, but you can't really see the detail. But you see enough to know what's looking at you. And so I see this face looking back at me. And the next moment this thing speaks to me. And the voice is deep and it's a booming voice. And the voice cuts through me like a knife. And it's very evil. And the words start echoing through me. Do you want to feel what hell feels like? Do you want to feel what hell feels like? And so by that time, I'm busy falling apart. I mean, I'm just losing it. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why this is happening to me. My logic and my reason has gone right out the window. I was studying engineering at the time. I was a very logical man. And you know what? When you work with an engineer, everything has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, it's rubbish. It's nonsense. And you know what? In a split second, God allowed things to come into my life that was to challenge the way that I looked at life forever. Because I suddenly understood that you can't logically reason everything out anymore. There's actually a lot of stuff out there that makes no sense to your mind whatsoever. And that's the area where God works. Some of the things in the Bible will make sense to you logically. But I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that makes no logical sense whatsoever. And if you insist to be logical about it, you're going to miss a lot of what God has for you. So there I'm lying on this bed. And at first I'm thinking to myself, this can't be happening to me. But then you see it doesn't go away. And my life, my spirit, my body, my whole being is so filled with fear. I remember I tried to open my mouth to shout at this thing, and there was just nothing. My mouth wouldn't open. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. I used to sleep with a baseball bat next to my bed. I remember thinking to myself, if I can only get hold of the baseball bat, I'm going to take it and I'm going to hit this thing. Any of you ever slept in a way that your arm has fallen asleep? And then you wake up and you try and move it and it doesn't want to move, and you try and flop your body around to just get this arm some circulation. So seeing as my arm didn't want to work, I tried to throw my body around, and you know what? I think the only thing I could move was my eyes. My body did not respond to me. My hands, my arms, my feet, everything was dead. And I was panicking like I've never panicked before. And let me tell you something, I was good at panicking. But this was the worst I've ever felt. And so I had exhausted all my options. I wanted to scream for help. I couldn't. I wanted to grab the baseball bat. I couldn't. I sort of wished I was dead. I wasn't dying. So what else was left? In my mind, I knew I have to pray. And I remember in my mind, I began to call out to God. I began to call on the name of Jesus. And all I said was, Jesus, please help me. Jesus, please help me. And you know what? Even though I said it in my mind, it immediately had an effect on what was happening to me. Every time I said, Jesus, please help me, this face would move a couple of centimeters further away from me. And then I would call out again and I would say, Jesus, please help me. And I would see this thing move more and more. And suddenly I couldn't see it anymore. I could still feel the presence, but I couldn't feel it. I couldn't see it anymore. And then slowly but surely, it moved far enough away that I couldn't see it or feel it at all. And then it was gone. And I wish I could tell you that I just fell asleep from pure exhaustion, but I do believe that I fainted. Because let me tell you something, you can only endure so much of this rubbish and then you just faint. I woke up the next morning, 6 o'clock. I was lying there in bed and I was thinking to myself, now man, was that a dream or was that real? Because you know, a part of me just really wanted that to be a dream, because if it was just a dream, then I don't have to do much about it. But I knew enough to know that if it wasn't a dream, this is going to bring big problems into my life. I tried to imagine that it was only a dream. As I got up out of the bed, my pajamas was sopping wet. Don't worry, I did not wet the bed. Bless God for that one. It was perspiration. And you know what? As I felt this wet clamminess all over, I just realized that what I experienced had to be real. Because I'm sitting with some very real evidence here. And I was totally freaked out. I did not know what to make of it. I did not know how to handle it. I was just extremely stressed. So, that morning, we're on our way into town. I used to catch a lift with my mother. Now, all the men that is here is probably going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. You all know about women and their sixth sense, right? Okay, you think you can hide stuff from them and then it just doesn't seem to work that way. So we're on our way into the town, and I had decided for myself that I better not tell anybody about the stuff that happened. Because chances are that people are going to think I'm loony. So I'm going to just keep this to myself. But unfortunately, I think my whole demeanor was showing stress, anxiety, and fear. And we're busy traveling into the center of town, and now my mother starts messing with me. What's wrong with you? No, Mom, nothing. No, man, I can see there's something wrong with you. Mom, there's nothing wrong with me. No, come on, son. You know, you can talk to me about anything. Now I'm thinking to myself, yeah, sure. Wait until you hear this one. And she didn't leave me alone. So eventually I decided, all right, well, you know what? Let me just tell her. So I told her. I'll never forget, we were driving down Boysen's Road. And I'm telling you now, she came this close to rolling the car. I think that was quite a shock for her. And after I told her the whole story, there was this eerie silence in the car. She said nothing. She dropped me off. I went to my classes. And that evening I came home. And my father was already at home. And as I walked into the front door, he was in his study and he called me into the study. obviously my mom had been talking to him about the stuff that happened to me. And I went into his study and he said to me, come sit here and tell me what happened last night. Okay, so I tell him the whole story, but now by now I'm feeling a lot better, you know, because it's been a couple of hours, I've sort of recovered. So I tell him the whole story and we chit-chat about it and I get ready to leave. And then as I put the handle down and I push the door open, I turned back to him and I said, Dad, what do you think that was? And he answered me, he said, son, I'm not sure. And then I asked him this question, I said, Dad, do you think it could have been a demon? And he was quiet and he looked at me. And then he said, it's possible. Now you see, that's the one thing I did not want to hear. But he said, it's possible. Okay, so anyway, I leave. I had supper. I went to bed. Guess what happened that night? The same thing. So I went through the same thing all over again. This time, however, I started praying immediately. I didn't first try and get hold of the baseball bat. I didn't first try and scream. I just started praying because last night I figured out that that stuff doesn't work. So I immediately began to pray. And again, the moment I began to pray, I felt this thing go further and further and further away from me. But now I was quite freaked out because, you know, once is bad enough. This is two nights in a row. Guess what happened the next night? Same thing. And the next night? Same thing. And the next night? For 2 weeks, this happened to me every single night of my life. I always say to people, I believe firmly that I came as close to being or having a nervous breakdown as you possibly can without actually having it. Because here I get home every night, all stressed out about what is probably going to happen tonight, which means that I can't fall asleep. Eventually, when I do fall asleep, it's like seconds, then this thing is there. Then I pray and it does go away eventually, but then I lie there and I freak out about what the hell is going on with my life, you know? And I was getting worse and worse. I had no sleep for 2 weeks in a row. My life was filled with fear, confusion, and I had no answers for any of the stuff. I didn't know why these things were happening to me or what was wrong with me. I was 21 years old at the time. Towards the end of the second week, I packed my stuff and I moved into my parents' room. Now, I don't know about you, but it's bad enough having a 3 or a 4 year old share your room with you. It's not nice to have a 21 year old share your room with you. So I think that gave my dad the understanding that he better do something about this. So he phoned the pastor. And he said to the pastor, listen, yeah, we got big problems here and we don't know what's going on and please, we need help. We had a lovely pastor at the time and he said, yeah, no problem. Send your son to come and see me. So we made a date. I was going to go and see him on that Friday. So the Friday comes and I'm quite stressed because now I don't know what's going to happen. You know, you've seen movies, you know, you've seen like The Exorcist and this and that and people's heads spinning around and weird stuff happening. So yeah, I'm quite terrified. I'm very stressed because according to me, I'm so full of devils that I can't even function properly. And I'm going to this man and he's going to cast them all out and it's just going to be very weird. I get there to his office. He was very nice to me. He asked me a whole bunch of questions and then he said, okay, he's going to pray with me now. And I was standing in front of him and my knees were going twar, 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 twar. And then he said to me, okay, I think you're all right. Man, the relief that came through me was something phenomenal because I'm fine. In fact, I went to the nearest club to go and celebrate immediately that I was fine. Came home drunk as a skunk. But you know what? God was very good. Even though actually nothing was sorted out in my life at that stage, God still honored the prayer that was prayed on my behalf. And that night I actually slept. It was the first time in 2 weeks that I could sleep. I slept well. I think the alcohol also helped. But I slept well. Please don't go and drink if you want to sleep and say, I said so. This was before I got changed. Do you understand? All right, so things began to change in my life. I wish I could tell you that it all stopped, but it did not. About 2 weeks later, my nightly visitor came back. But something interesting happened in the meantime. God had done something in my spirit. You see, I did a lot of thinking about this stuff. I can't tell you that I thought the right things because I can't even remember, but I pondered these things and I thought, and the one thing that kept coming back to me was the moment you pray and call on the name of Jesus, something happened. I could feel instantly something would happen. And so when it came back the next time, instead of me falling apart with fear and anxiety and panic and all of the stuff that goes with that, I would immediately pray, but there would be something in me that wants to fight that I didn't really have before. Before I would just, please take it away, please help me. Please. You know, I was like falling apart still, even though I was praying. Now, I was ready to fight. And it disappeared a lot quicker. A lot quicker than before. Fast forward a couple of years. You would think to yourself that that would be enough to get me to change my life, right? Wrong. I wish I could tell you that I did. And I'm probably pretty stupid that I didn't. But then again, I just didn't. You see, my life consisted of the following. Party, 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 drink, drink, drink. As much as you can, as often as you can. I went out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. I was a regular at almost every nightclub in the south and in the center of town. Most of the bouncers knew me. I never even used to stand in the queue. They would just wave me in and there I go. You see, I spent a lot of money there. Why did I go to all these places? For some strange reason, when I used to go to these places, I used to feel good about myself. When I was full of alcohol and I was dancing around and I was just, I felt good about myself. Now, I never felt good the next morning. I always had a hangover. But it used to do something to me. And you see, the thing is that I never used to realize, but that I can understand now, is that there was a longing in me for something. I was searching for something. And I used to go to all of these places. I used to go to all of these clubs. I used to do all of these things because I was trying to fill this void inside of me that I knew was there, but I never knew what was supposed to go there. It was one way of trying to cope with stuff that I was going through. Obviously, it never filled the void because I had to go back the next night to get some more. But that was my life. I stopped attending church after my catechism. Is that right? Yeah, that thing. When you come and stand in front of all of the people and the pastor says, right, you are now part of the church. That day, I wore my nice suit and my tie and I stood in front of everybody and I told them that God is amazing and wonderful, and then I disappeared. Because you see, I didn't really feel that I needed God. I knew that He existed and I knew that He was real. But there were other things on my agenda. There was other things that I wanted to do. And I drifted away from God. Fast forward, 1995. One evening my father comes home. It's a Sunday evening. I'm sitting in his house watching television. He says to me, listen, young man, we just had the most amazing meeting. Yeah, yeah. He says to me, there was a man that came to our church that prophesied over me. Now, I don't even know what prophecy is. He has to first explain to me. So I'm thinking to myself, man, that sounds like fortune telling. And then my dad says, and this Oak was an evangelist, and he called people forward for prayer. Now, you see, in the church that I come from, that doesn't happen. People don't get called forward for prayer. The closest that you get to prayer is that the pastor will say, you know what, Auntie Pochenpool is not feeling very well. Please put her on your prayer list and pray for her. Thank you. That's it. This man did something different. He came into the church, he preached a sermon, and he began to call people forward, and he actually prayed for them right there, which was already a wow paradigm shift. But then he didn't just pray for them. Stuff began to happen to people. People fell over. People started laughing. People started crying. All sorts of things were happening. Now I'm thinking to myself, this sounds like a circus. I'm not sure I want to have anything to do with this stuff. But my dad's all excited. According to him, this is the best thing that's ever happened. And he says to me, listen, young man, this guy is coming back to the church in about a month's time. I want you to come to the church. Now, one thing about me, I was extremely good at lying. Listen, I was. Okay, was. So, as my dad's telling me all this stuff, I say, yeah, okay, yes, yes, I'll be there. Yes, you know, I don't want to cause a scene now. In my heart, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm not going to be within 30 kilometers of the church. To him, I say, I'll be there. And I never planned on going to the church. But God has a funny way of intervening in your life. So, it's a month later. I've forgotten completely about my promise to my father. And it's my best friend's birthday. Can you believe it? a real occasion to get smashed. And I had every intention of getting smashed. If it wasn't for his girlfriend, who didn't like alcohol. Yeah, can you believe it? So, she took us to some place where there wasn't really alcohol involved. And I think I managed to smuggle in one beer. And I had my one beer, but that's all I had for the whole day. So, can you believe it? I was actually completely, what do you say, sober when we came back that evening. Which I do believe was completely necessary, because if I came to the church very drunk, maybe I would have missed out on what God had planned. And so I'm in the area where our church is, because we have to drop off somebody that didn't have a car. And as I'm three blocks from the church, my cell phone rings. Now you remember, we did not have caller ID back then. If I'd known who it was, I wouldn't have answered the phone. But I didn't. So I answer the phone and it's my dad. He says, "Where are you?" I say, "Well, yeah, I'm in this so-and-so place." He says, "Oh, great. That's just around the corner from the church." So I'm thinking, "Ooh, sheesh, I've just put my foot in it." You see, the thing is, come on, let's be honest. If I had known why he was phoning, and if I had remembered what he was phoning about, I would have been in Boksburg. But now I didn't know, and I didn't remember, so I'm actually just around the corner from the church. So now I'm a little bit stressed, because I've put my foot in it. I have to make a plan here. So I come up with a brilliant strategy. You see, the friends that are with me in the car, they're even worse than I am. I mean, they are just plain hooligans. What are the chances that these people are going to want to go to church? And we are not in my car, we are with them. So I say to my dad, "No, man, Dad, you don't understand. I'm with these oaks here, and, you know, I'm pretty sure that they don't want to go to church." And I was quite chuffed, because I'd just dodged a bullet. My dad comes back to me and he says, "Man, invite them with." All right. That's a novel idea. Let's invite them. So I invite them. You'll never guess what happened. The worst of the lot immediately says, "Yeah, let's go." And I began to get the sneaking suspicion that everybody is ganging up against me. I'm feeling extremely threatened by now. And so, to make a long story short, the next thing I know, I'm walking back into the church. And they greet me like the long-lost prodigal son. Because they haven't seen me in years. So I go and I sit right at the back of the church. And this visiting evangelist begins to preach his sermon. I wish I could allow you to feel what I felt while this man was talking. I'm sitting there at the back. As this man is talking, I'm feeling so uncomfortable. I'm feeling so edgy. I've got heart palpitations. Then I'm hot, then I'm cold. Then I'm nauseous, then I think I'm going to vomit right now. And more than once, I actually tried to get up. It was like there was a voice talking to me, saying to me, "Don't listen to this man. Don't listen to this message. This is not for you. Get out of this church. Run. Go." And as I was sitting, the door was right there. And I actually tried to get up to run out. You remember the feeling I had when that Jojo was on top of me? I had the same feeling in church. I couldn't get up. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do nothing. There I sat, half paralyzed, extremely nervous, very agitated, and I didn't want to listen to what this man was saying. But you know, the funny thing was, it felt like I had elephant ears. And they were tuned into that man's voice frequency. And every word that he spoke just came filtering through, and it was like it went right into my heart. And it began to cut at my heart. And I felt something happen to me. By the time this man was finished, it felt like my whole body was shaking. He finished by making an altar call, by calling people forward that would like to sort out their lives with God. Without even thinking, I'd already taken two steps forward. At that stage of my life, that's the last thing I ever expected to do. As I'm walking forward, I begin to feel all the energy drain out of my body. It's as if something doesn't want me to get to the front. And it actually felt like I was running the Comrades Marathon. I'm not lying to you. It was probably from that back white table to where I'm standing now. That was the distance that I walked. By the time I got to the front, it felt like I'd run 50 kilometers, I'd run a marathon, and I'd run it full blast. I was sweating, I was tired, I was nervous, and I still felt like vomiting. I just felt my whole stomach was just doing this all the time. Well, in for a penny, in for a pound, like the Englishman says. I am here. This voice keeps talking to me. It keeps telling me, don't go for prayer. Don't let these people pray for you. You don't need this in your life. And then I was standing in front. And this man looked at me. And he prophesied over me. And I can't remember everything that he prophesied, but some of it was actually pretty good. I remember thinking to myself, man, this prophecy thing is actually not as bad as I thought. And then something interesting happened. You know, God knows what's happening in your life. I was sharing with you the other day that at one stage when the Philistine king wanted to attack the Israelites, every time God would warn Elijah, and he would go and warn the Israelites, and they would always be ready. And at one stage, the Philistine king said, listen here, come on, bring me the traitor. Who's the guy that keeps telling everybody what we've planned? And then one of his people came to him and said, no, nobody's telling the king of Israel what we've planned. There is a prophet in Israel, and God speaks to the prophet, and God tells the prophet even what you share in your bedroom. And the king was all freaked out by this. Now let me just tell you something. God knows what's happening in your life. So I'm standing in front of this man and he's prophesying over me. And at that stage of my life, me and my wife are fighting like cat and dog. Because we've been married just over a year and she wants kids. She wants babies. She's still got the same problem. She's pregnant again. My goodness. Pray for me. She wants babies. And you know what? I've just said to you, I jawl. That's all I do. That's what I do for a living. Work is like an afterthought. Jawling is like the main purpose for existing. Now she wants babies and I don't want babies because if I have babies, I'm going to probably have to change. And I did not. That was the last thing I felt like doing, is changing. Yes, I know I was pretty stupid, but remember that was a long time ago. And so the man looks at me and he says to me, why are you so afraid to have children? The Lord says, I must say to you, young man, you are going to make a wonderful father. Amen. And you know what? I can't tell you what happened. It was like a lightning bolt just flashed into me. And it was a combination of shock and horror and a whole bunch of other things. And the next thing I knew, I just fell down on the floor. Boom. And I lay there and I was rattled completely. Because you see, here's what this meant to me. I did believe in God. I grew up very religious. Even when I came home in my very drunken state many nights, I could not go and sleep before I read my verse out of the Bible. That was just me. I would be so drunk that I couldn't understand anything there, but I would read it and read it again and read it again and then pass out. But not before I said my little nursery rhyme prayer. Because you have to pray before you go to sleep. Now I lay my, what? Yeah, now I lay my body down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now I used to pray that one and a whole bunch of other ones. But they were all rhymes that I remembered from childhood. I very seldom just spoke to God. I would just pray these prayers that I remembered because then I felt better. You know, at least I've prayed. What I'm trying to say to you is, I was religious, but I did not really have a relationship with God. And here comes a man that I don't know, that tells me what's happening in my life and says that the Lord knows about it and the Lord says that it's going to be fine. And I am blown away. I am shocked because I realize for the first time that this is not just nursery rhymes, this is not just fun and games, this is very real. And I realized for the first time that God knows what's going on in my heart. You know, I don't know how to explain it, but I used to think that there's stuff that He will know and stuff that He won't know. There's stuff that I can hide from Him. And I realized to my shock and horror that night, I can't hide nothing from Him. And this just absolutely changed my whole perception of myself and God. And as I was lying there on the floor, I began to talk to God. I didn't use a little nursery rhyme. I spoke to God. They prayed for me around about 10 o'clock. I probably fell down on the floor around about 10 o'clock under the power of God's Holy Spirit. 12 o'clock that night, the pastor came to my dad and said, "Here's the keys. I can't hang around here any longer. You lock when this man gets up." I did not want to get up off the floor. As I was lying there and I was talking to God, I felt waves go through me. And with every wave that came and went through my body, I felt lighter and lighter and lighter. And I could feel that the Holy Spirit, at that stage, I didn't even know it was the Holy Spirit. I just know what I felt. I felt something was doing something in my heart. There was a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of anger and a lot of issues all locked up inside. And little by little, I began to feel these things leave me. And I was too afraid to get up. I was afraid that I would miss what God wants to do. And you know what? That night, I just made a decision. I don't care who laughs at me. I don't care who thinks I'm funny. I don't care who thinks I'm weird. I'm not getting up. I've missed out on what God wants to do for too long. I've tried to do it my way for too long. From today, it'll be His way. Sometime after 12, I got up. We switched off the lights. We locked the church. We went home. Got home, I couldn't sleep. Because now my mind is just rushing with all the stuff that's happened. Eventually I fell asleep. The next morning I woke up and it was like I was still talking to God. I fell asleep talking to God. I woke up still talking to God. And I was just telling God how freaky that stuff was that happened. How amazing that was. How awesome it was to not just hear about Him but experience Him. To know that I know that I know that He's real and nobody could ever tell me any different. To have felt Him touch me and work inside of me was freaky, man. And I'm sitting there on the bed and now, you know what? I never used to think about the future. The future was full of problems as far as I was concerned. We drink them away today. And I'm sitting there on my bed and for the first time, I'm asking the question, but why am I here? What's God's plan for my life? Because my plan was to just party and do whatever, but God's plan must be something different. And as I'm sitting on the bed and I'm talking to God, I suddenly ask this question. Oh, I don't ask a question, I make a statement. I say, "Lord, I don't know what your plan is for my life. I've never actually thought about stuff like this. I don't know what the future holds for me. I don't know what my destiny is. But if you would like to use me, you can. But I have one request. I don't know that man that prayed for me last night, but whatever he had, I want it. I want it, Lord. You give me what that man had and you can use me any way you want." I said it exactly the same way and I'm speaking to you now. And I felt something stir inside of me. And then I went to work. How many of you know that God listens when you talk? From that day, my life was never the same again. I remember in that week, I went into a woman's office for business, for work. Now, let me tell you something about myself. I'm an Afrikaner. And we've got a way of looking at life that's a bit different from other people. And one of the things that Afrikaner men tend to believe is, jy praat nie kerk nie en jy praat nie politiek nie en dan's almal goeie vriende. You don't talk church and you don't talk politics and everybody will be good friends. I hated politics, I still do. And I definitely wasn't planning on talking church anytime soon. I was allergic to it. I mean, I didn't even go to church. Here I walk into this woman's office. Funny thing is, as soon as I walk into her office, I'm feeling something, but I can't tell you what I'm feeling. This is very weird and new to me. You know, women have feelings, men don't have nothing, you know. I don't know what we've got, but we don't have nothing. So I walk into this woman's office and I start feeling stuff, you know. And I'm feeling that something's wrong. And I'm feeling that there's a problem here. And I don't know what to do about it. But this, you know, it's like the same as that night when I was in the church. I'm getting heart palpitations and my seat is getting hot and cold and hot and cold. And I got this, that I must talk to her. Before I would never have spoken to her. Before I would never have got no feeling anyway. And so while we're talking business, I begin to speak to her. And before I knew it, we were talking about God. And I was sharing with her some of the stuff that I felt and what I actually felt God lay something on my heart to share with her. And I shared it with her and she started bawling. And it's just Kleenexes all over the place. I'm sitting there and I'm quite amazed at all of this. And then I said to her, don't worry, I'm going to pray with you and everything will be all right. Man, I was so allergic to prayer, it was not funny. The worst thing you could ever do to me was to make me pray out loud. They used to do that to me when I was still in Sunday school. You remember Sunday school, you all sit in a circle around the teacher and then he will point and say, would so-and-so pray for us now and would so-and-so pray for us now? Or we are all going to now end off in prayer. Then I'm sitting there and I'm racking my brain to come up with something to pray. And then just as I think to myself, man, okay, I can pray this. This sounds pretty okay. Then the oak next to me prays it. Then it's like panic stations because... Yeah? And then I fall all over myself because I've got nothing to say. So what I'm trying to say to you is, man, I was allergic to prayer. I couldn't even pray for myself, let alone pray for somebody else. Yeah, there's a woman that I don't know that's going through problems and stuff. And I say to her, I'm going to pray for you. Man, where did that stuff come from? It came out of my mouth. If only I had that back way back when I was in Sunday school and I had to pray. But back then I didn't have it. Suddenly words are coming out of my mouth that are not... Yes, the funny thing, they were not coming out of my mind. They just flowed. They just came out. When I was finished, she stopped crying. And she said she felt a big release. She felt different. I remember I walked out of the office. I walked out of the building. I got outside in the sunlight. And I went and I stood up and I looked at the heavens. And I actually asked this question. I said, what on earth just happened? And I turned around and I looked at this building and I was astonished at what I'd experienced. Then strange things began to happen. I would begin to sometimes suddenly know things about people. I realize now we call it a word of knowledge. Sometimes it's prophetic, sometimes it's just called the word of knowledge, but I would just know things. And it's not just that, people would come to me and start telling me about all of their problems. And I would pray for them. Now, you remember my old visitor? Well, what happened to me that night in the church, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is something that we never understood. When it happened to me, was the first time that I actually understood about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God had filled me with His power. And He had released the giftings that had always been inside of me that I never knew about. He had released them by His Holy Spirit. And you would think now that God's giftings are operating in my life and the power of the Holy Spirit is upon my life, the chocho would go away. No ways. Now He really wanted to fight. You see, the thing is, I was now a much bigger threat than I was before. Before, I was a Mickey Mouse threat. Now, I was a big threat. Because now God started using me. And you see, when God begins to use your life, you begin to step on somebody's toes. Because unfortunately, God's not the only supernatural person out there. There's a bunch of stupid chochos as well. The biggest one of all is called Satan. And he doesn't want you to discover who you are. He doesn't want you to discover what your destiny is, and He doesn't want you to discover what your giftings are. And above all, He doesn't want you to use them. You and him will be big buddies, good friends, if you never discover and you never use. But you see, I discovered and I began to use. So night after night, I had this thing come and mess with me. My wife would wake up, and she would see me fighting with something, wrestling with something in the bed. Then she would just put her hand on me and pray with me, and normally things will get sorted out. And this happened over and over again. I couldn't really understand it because, man, you know what? I was changing my life. I stopped drinking. I don't drink at all. I got rid of all the stupid things in my life. I got rid of pornography. I stopped going to the clubs. I laid down what I knew I needed to lay down. And yet things didn't seem to get better in that area. And I began to ask this question. Remember that question that I asked my father that I was a bit afraid to get the answer for? Is this a demon. Now my question was, I know it's a demon, is it with me? And I actually asked this question in church more than once. And every single time I got the same answer. No. You are a child of God, you are spirit-filled, the devil can't touch you. What do you mean, hallelujah? How's your mind? They were talking lies, man. They were talking lies. Because you see, when they tell you that stuff in church, it sounds good. Yeah, you know, the devil can't touch you, you know, like bubble boy. But you go home and you get attacked. Okay, so now what about this Christian myth that Satan can't touch you? See, that doesn't make any sense. And yeah, I understand why they say that, because they also don't want to confront the truth that these things are out there. But it's not about what you want and I want, it's about what the Bible says. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Listen, submit yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Now that includes salvation. Because you can't really be under the hand of God, and you can't be submitted to God unless you are part of His kingdom, right? And then it says, now resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, the devil can't flee from you until you have submitted to God. Because until you have submitted to God, you don't have the power to make him flee. But once you have submitted to God, the demons that were always in your life are now very afraid of you, because now you've started tapping into some real power. If you take a drill, a 220 volt drill, and you put it on your 12 volt battery and you pull the trigger, nothing's going to happen. But you plug it into the socket and you have Eskom behind you and you go zing zing and it's going to work. When you meet with God, you plug into real power that is available to you to help you to deal with issues and problems and rubbish in your life. But until you've plugged in, you've got no power. Every drill has potential. You've got to first plug it in. Every one of you sitting here tonight, you have potential. But the question is, are you plugged in to the source of power? All right. The church told me that this must be a figment of my imagination. It wasn't. It was very real. My wife can testify to it. And I made a decision back then that I was going to find the answers. And I studied the Bible and I read books. And you know what? More and more, I began to understand that what Christians were telling me and what the Bible was saying is not the same thing. And I decided, man, I've got to face facts here. Chances are pretty good I got some devil that needs to be dealt with. So, one day, I came to the place where I had enough courage. And remember, I didn't drink anymore, so the courage must have come from God. I had enough courage to confront this thing. By then I had identified that my problem has definitely got to be, the big root has got to be fear. Let me tell you a little bit about my life. Fear ruled my life. I was extremely afraid. I was afraid of the dark. Apparently my parents say I was afraid of the dark as long as they can remember. But I wasn't just afraid of the dark. If I was in a room and you switched off the light, I would freak out. I was absolutely petrified of the dark. I was so bad, and I was always afraid of the unknown. You know, if I can't see whether things are okay, I don't want to walk there because I don't know if it's all right. If I was sitting in the lounge at night and somebody asked me to close the window, there is no way you get my hand out that window because I can't see outside what's there. And for all I know, there's some big ho-ho out there that's going to grab me and it's going to pull my arm off. Or even worse, there's some schmuck out there with an axe and he's going to cut off my arm. I mean, I know that this is crazy, but this is how I lived my life. My life was full of vampires. Man, I once read a book about vampires, and from that day on, there was vampires everywhere. At night when I used to come home, the first thing I would watch is the chimney. Is there something up there checking? Then one day I read a book about aliens, and from that day on, I couldn't walk around outside without checking if the air was... You know? I always had these visions of me being abducted and they did weird stuff to me. But, you know, in my mind or in my spirit, none of these things were fictional, they were real. They were there. My life was ruled with fear. How many of you know that that's not from God? 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." And you know what? I didn't have a sound mind, because when the fear came, all rational thinking went out the door. Fear took control. And that was unbiblical. And you know what? I can tell you where it came from. I believe that I already had fear when I was born. Fear runs in our family. But you know what made it a lot worse? I was 12 years old. Me and my brother and my father was watching TV. In our house, we used to have to be in bed early, except on a weekend. On a weekend, we could stay up late. My father has a huge problem that he can't sit in front of a TV and not fall asleep. So my father would normally be asleep by 8 o'clock. So me and him would sit and watch whatever we wanted. If my father was awake, he would often switch off the TV or switch to another channel. That was in the way back when years we had three choices. I think it might have only been two, SABC 1 and 2. So yeah, I am watching some movie. Who of you have heard of The Devil's Triangle? The movie. Any of you, yeah? All right. Never watch it. That's all I can say. Never watch it. So yeah, I'm watching this movie, The Devil's Triangle. What makes this movie so evil is it doesn't seem evil in the beginning. It seems there's a logical explanation for everything. So you don't catch on that it is highly supernatural and totally demonic until right at the end. The last scene sort of brings it across that this person in this movie was Satan himself. And then he turns into the figure of Satan. His whole face turns in front of you. Now I'm 12 years old and I've already got fear and I see this happen. And as it happened, from the shock and the panic, I actually felt something jump out of the TV, and with a force I felt it come into me. Of course I'm 12 years old, I don't know what to make of it, I just think I had a big fright. Today I know I never had a fright. That's how that spirit came into me. It abused that moment of weakness and it jumped into me. You know, that night, my mother put me to bed. When she switched off the lights, I went berserk. Instantly. You know, we've all heard of the boogeyman, right? Instantly, the boogeyman was under my bed. I never had a problem with the boogeyman before. That night, he was under my bed. Then when I'd convinced myself he's not under the bed, there was some troll or some ho-ho or something behind my curtains. And then it was in my cupboard. Okay, here's how bad it got. There's my boot. Just wave at the people. He's 4 years younger than me. He's 8 years old. I can't sleep. I switch the light back on. My mother comes into the room. What are you doing? No, Ma, I'm scared. I can't sleep. No, man, that's just rubbish. Go to sleep. So she switches off the light. I switch the light back on. She comes back in there. She says, if you switch this light on again, you're going to get a hiding. Now I'm more afraid of the hiding than of the boogeyman. So I switch the light off. Cover myself with a blanket. So I wait until I know she's in bed. Now he's sleeping a long time. He actually fell asleep during the movie. God blessed him and made him sleep. So he never saw it. But now I'm falling apart, yeah. I can't sleep, so I wake him up. No, man, listen, yeah. Let's play something. Oh, are you mad? It's like late. No, come on, you know. You can have all the nice stuff. Oh, all right. Okay, so we start playing something. We played cards and we played all sorts of stuff. Of course, I let him win all the time because I just don't want to go to sleep. So that night, that was the Saturday night. He didn't get no sleep. I didn't get no sleep. Sunday night, the same thing. The light goes off. I'm falling apart, yeah. I wake him up. Come, let's play something. So we would play until from exhaustion we get a little bit of sleep. Monday afternoon, his teacher stops my mother. She says, listen, yeah, there's something wrong with your son. My mom says, what's wrong with him? She says, I don't know what, he can't stay awake in class. So my mother asks him what's happening. So like a schmuck, he says to my mother, no, Rion won't let me sleep. So I ended up getting the hiding anyway, because I wouldn't let my brother sleep. And then I had to learn to cope with my problems. Shame. God doesn't want you to cope. God wants to give you victory. But I didn't know it at the time. We didn't know it at the time. So yes, I used to cope by putting the blanket over my head, by just trying, wishing it away. I don't know, I used to do all sorts of stuff to just try and fall asleep. So yeah, I'm sitting in my office, and I've decided it's time for this stupid thing to go now. So I've made a list. I've made a list of all the people that I need to forgive. It was a long list. I used to hold lots of grudges. I made a list of all the things I have to confess. It was an even longer list, because I was a naughty boy. And I confessed stuff that I probably never did, and you might find that strange. I didn't find it strange. I was desperate. I wanted to make sure that I cover everything. And I read through that stuff, and I confessed everything, and I confessed the names of all the people out loud that I knew that I had to forgive. And then I prayed a simple prayer, something to this effect, where I just said, Lord, I am a child of God. Jesus died for me. And I know, Lord, that this is not the way you want me to live my life. Satan is busy afflicting me. And I know that Jesus promises victory. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted, and he has come to set the captive free. Lord Jesus, please set me free. And then I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of fear that is tormenting my life. I command you in Jesus' name to leave me now. And the next moment, something began to scream out of me. And it wasn't me screaming. It was a very high-pitched voice. I would have given a lot of female vocalists a good run for their money. And with the scream came a rush of air. Now, I've read somewhere that your lungs can hold about 3 liters, 3 to 4 liters of air. The amount of air that rushed out of me must have been 20 liters plus. It was just like, and as it left, my whole body shook quite violently. And then it was all over. And I sat there, and now I wasn't afraid. I was just freaked out. I was astonished. Because I did expect something to happen, but I didn't know what to expect. And you know what? I felt so different. I felt completely different. Don't be offended now. This is just my way of explaining it. But it felt like I'd always had a condom around my head that I never knew was there. And it affected the way I heard, and it affected the way I saw, and it affected the way my mind worked. And suddenly, this thing was taken off. And you know what? My hearing was instantly clearer. My eyesight was instantly sharper. Colors were instantly brighter. And it felt like there was a turbo in my mind. I could think quickly. I can't explain it to you. But thoughts came like this. Boom, quick, quick. And I felt completely different. So I pick up the phone all excited, and I phone my wife. Man, you'll never guess what just happened. No, what happened? I just cast the devil out of myself. So there was just silence on the other end of the line. It took her a while to get over it. And I've told you what the physical changes were. I never realized the other implications. I didn't know what this would mean for me. At that stage, I was already praying for people. God was using me to His glory. I come home in that week, late at night, late, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. We used to live in Mondial, in a cul-de-sac, a dead-end street. We had this huge koppie with like cliffs and all sorts of stuff on the one side. And I don't think there was a street light, was there?
It was, but we
still have. Okay, well, he took care of the street light. So there wasn't really one technically. And you know what? Yes, picture this now. I used to get home at nights. Now remember, I'm paranoid. There's demons everywhere. There's vampires everywhere. There's aliens that want to abduct me. Now I have to get out in the dark, and I have to manually open the gate because we didn't have an electric motor. And I'm outside and I'm vulnerable. So I'm like falling apart all the way to the gate, and I'm checking everything and double checking everything, falling all over myself. Running back to the car, feel safe again. Drive the car down the driveway. Oh my God, I have to go back and close it now. Okay, get some courage. breathe steady now, you know. And eventually I manage to get out of the car and I run back to the gate and I close it and I run into the house. Then I get to the front door with this thing breathing down my neck. Now I have to get the key in the door. And I'm so busy trying to get the key in there quickly that I drop it two or three times. Oh, panic stations fall apart. Eventually I manage to get the key back into the lock and I get in the house safe again. That used to be my nightly ritual. So this night, I stop at the gate, I open the gate, I close the gate, park the car, and I'm walking down this long, narrow corridor towards my front door, with bushes all around, moving in the wind. You know, I mean, it's like a Hitchcock movie, man. And that night, again, I remember walking a couple of steps and I stopped and I had this nagging feeling at the base of my spine that something was different, but I didn't instantly know what. And as I stopped and I was looking up at the sky, poof, it suddenly came to me. The voices are gone. The breathing is gone. That vampire that used to watch me there from the chimney, he's gone. The UFO that used to cruise around, that one's gone. All the demons that used to afflict me in my imagination, they're gone. And you know what? In their place is peace. And for the first time since I was 12 years old, I can stand alone at night and I can experience the blessing of God's creation without falling apart. And then I understood what God had done for me that day. Then, round about that time, we went to a church for a conference on the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, I now wanted to understand more about the Holy Spirit. Because I'd met Him, He touched me, but I knew very little about Him. And there was a conference on about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how these things work. And me and my father went there. We were sitting there and I really enjoyed the man's teaching. I found it very interesting. And afterwards they were praying for people. Now there was 8,000 people at this conference. That's a lot of people. And so afterwards they're praying for people and there's people everywhere, all over the auditorium. And a man comes up to me and he begins to talk to me and he asks me a question. He says, "Young man, I feel that the Lord is shared something to me about you. Do you mind if I share it with you?" I say, "Yeah, sure." You see, now I'm feeling a lot better about prophecy. I've understood that it's not weird like I used to think. And he looks at me and he says, "The Lord says that I'm going to share with you that He has called you to work for Him full time. You mustn't go and study. The Lord will teach you all you need to know." Now again, that was profound, because what he did not know was, back home, because of all the changes in my life and all the stuff God had done for me, I had decided that probably God wants me to be a pastor. And I sat with probably 10 different brochures of theological colleges and seminaries and Bible schools, and me and my wife were one by one going through them deciding which one I would attend. I'd already decided to go and study. Here comes a man that says to me, "God has called you to work for Him, don't go study." Man, that's weird. And again in my mind I thought to myself, how on earth is this going to work? So now I'm looking for my father because I want to tell him this stuff. It takes me 5 minutes to find him. He's busy talking to the actual pastor of this big church. And as I walk up to them, my father introduces me to the man, and the pastor takes my hand and he looks me in the eye and he says, "Young man, the Lord says I must say to you, God has called you to work for Him full time. Do not go and study. God will teach you all you need to know." Twice in the period of less than 5 minutes probably, God gave me the same word. And then I knew that I knew that God means business. It took another couple of years before those words could go into fulfillment. But yes, that is exactly what the Lord did. Now, in the beginning I shared with you, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. That was my life. It was formless. I tried to give it form by going out, mixing with all the wrong crowds, trying to please everybody, but I never got form. My life was empty. I tried to fill it with alcohol, pornography, bitterness, anger, hatred, resentment, rebellion, but I never felt satisfied. And you know what? Above all, I was in darkness. Because I didn't have a cooking clue what was going on in my life. I was like a wave in the sea. Today I'm here, tomorrow I'm there. Then I'm there, then I'm there. From one day to the next, I never knew where I would be. And God had spoken a lot of things over my life. And one day I was at a place where the Holy Spirit could bring what God had spoken. Boom. Into fulfillment in my life. And in a split second, when I allowed God to do this in my life, I felt the darkness disappear. My life instantly got shape. And the void that I used to have, that I used to try and take care of with all of the other rubbish, the void was gone. Can I tell you something? I do not miss for one second the life that I had before. I don't miss the parties. I don't miss the alcohol. I don't miss the clubs. Because today I can tell you that it did nothing for me. Because, yes, at that moment that you're there, you feel good. But tomorrow morning, it's gone. It's short duration. But now, the peace that came into my life when God touched me then, that peace is still here. The determination that I had back then, that determination is still here. The vision God gave me back then, that vision is still here. I'm not saying I don't go through trials and tribulations. I do, just like all of you. I have many ups and downs, just like all of you. But you know what? I still have what God gave me. And because God brought light into my life, I now look at problems in a whole new, different way. I'm not like him trying to take off his alternator in the dark. I'm like, now, there's still an alternator, it still needs to be taken off, but there's people all around me giving me the spanners, telling me do this, do that. The Holy Spirit is doing all of that for me. He's helping me. Yes, I still have to do a lot of the work myself. But he's guiding me. He's helping me. None of that could happen until I moved from darkness into light. That's not all of my testimony. There's a lot more, but I don't have time for anything else. I would like to end off this way. I would like you all to close your eyes for me, please. I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. But I do know that God loves you, and that God knows you. And just like he had a different plan for my life, even though I never knew it and couldn't see it, so I know that tonight he has a different plan for your life. And maybe tonight, while you sat and you listened to what I shared, you also thought, well, why am I here? What is God's plan for me? Maybe just like me back then, if you look at your life right now, it is also shapeless. There's no form. Maybe you can also say to me, but Riam, there is just emptiness in my life. I don't think I've got anything inside. Well, I've got some good news for you. What happened to me is not unique. That's what God wants to do for every single one of us. Now, it might not happen for you exactly the same way that it happened for me. But will it happen for you if you allow it? Yes, it will. So here's my point. If you are sitting here tonight and through me sharing my testimony, God has spoken to you. And you know that it's time for you to also move from darkness into light. I want you to just raise your hand. Don't worry, nobody can see you. Just raise your hand. Right. There's quite a few. Now here's what we're going to do. If I just let these people pray, they're going to probably feel a bit funny and awkward. So we're all going to do this together. But the people that have raised their hands, God has seen you. And you must understand something. When you have raised your hand to Jesus, it's like me that night beginning to call out to Him. Every time I called out to Him, instantly things began to change. Your life will never be the same again. I would like all of you to stand for me, please. Please pray the following with me. All of you out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God, and you are the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for all of my sins. Lord, I confess, I am a sinner. I have messed up big time. I have been rebellious. I have been bitter. I have been full of unforgiveness. I have been full of hatred. I am puffed up with pride. And I've given the devil a lot of place. I've tried a lot of things to deal with my life with no fruit. I realize tonight Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. And only Jesus can be the life. And so I call out to you now. Lord Jesus Christ, please have mercy on me. Come and touch my life. Take away the shapelessness. Take away the hurt. Take away the pain. Take away the torment. Give me vision. Fill me with light. Release inside of me your power unto salvation. I pray this in Jesus' name. And I thank you for this now. Holy Spirit, from today, I'm trusting you to take my hand and guide me through this life. My heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Do that 3 or 4 times. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, please fill every one of them that has prayed this prayer from their heart. Amen.